I want to wish a mazel tov to Rabbi Zimmerman and his family and the birth of a granddaughter in Eretz Yisrael. May see much nachas from this new baby and all of their grandchildren and children. Rabbi, so in the middle of a geshmaka sugya, which, again, I don't think I ever thought I'd say a share in it. Not only one share, but probably two and a third share on the topic. But the topic is upsharens. It's a little negay in Yonah Diyema, making an upsharen for my son, Mr. Hashem. So the question is, what exactly is this all about? And the truth is, when you talk about upsharens, you have to be honest and break it down into two parts. And again, this is not a typical sugya with regular gemaras and rishonim, but if you're going to tackle the sugya, we're going to tackle it on a legitimate, honest way. We have to go upon it with two different questions. And we'll see, and I was very happy to see this, that I found the tshuva from the Divrei Moshe, Moshe Halberstam, who was one of the big poiskim in Eretz Yisrael, an einikel from the Klausenberg einikel. He makes this observation. And the point is, there's two separate sugyas when it comes to upsharens. There is one question about the hair cutting, which we'll get to more today. And the next sugya, which I guess we'll get to next week, is the hachnosas l'cheder. The whole concept of taking the kid to yeshiva and all that. And then the third part of it is the suda that you have at an upsharen taka sudas mitzvah. And it's negated to a couple of things. Whether or not to give legitimacy to the party afterwards, or it's really just a glorified birthday party. Which is a machloek is me and my wife are having at the current moment. And the nafkamina is how much money she just spent. If it's a sudas mitzvah, okay, so you do it, it's a sudas mitzvah. If it's a glorified birthday party, so why spend too much money? So that's really the third, and it's really an offshoot of the second of how to understand it. So we talked last week about the famous Medrash Tanchuma. And we mentioned last week, and I'll show it to you in print in one of the sources, that if you stop anyone on the street and ask them where those upsharens come from, so they throw at you this medrash that says that the baby is like Arlo, and you're not allowed to, 3 years, you're not allowed to cut the tree, you're not allowed to cut his hair. There's only one problem. If you actually looked up the medrash like we did last week, you'll see that's not what the medrash says. And I was so, I'm not sure what the word is, but I was so happy to see Reb Chaim Kanievsky makes this observation as well. Nowhere in that medrash does the medrash say, and therefore don't touch your kid's hair until he turns 3. It doesn't say it anywhere in the medrash. But this is what everyone hangs their hat on. This medrash. The medrash says, you're not allowed to cut the kid's hair. If anyone actually looked up the medrash, they see it doesn't say that in the medrash. The medrash just says that the kid can't talk, and because the kid can't talk, you wait till he turns 3, and then you start teaching him everything. Never a word that you can't touch the kid's hair. So let's continue on with that conversation. I think we left off last week where we had that as source number one. And we had that as source number one with Arugas Abaisim. We mentioned Moshe Greenwald, who pointed that he learned the Medrash, that Pshat in the Medrash is that since the kid doesn't start Chinuch till 3, so the first mitzvah you want to be Mechanachim is the mitzvah of Peis, which we'll talk a little bit more about as well. Right? That's the whole Pshat with the Upsharen, right? According to the Medrash, according to Arugas Abaisim, it works like this. The Medrash says, you don't stop being Mechanachim kid till he hits 3. And we already pointed out that that's very shver because we have halach and shulchan aruch. He's supposed to be mechanach a kid as early as he understands. But Dr. Arugas Abaisim said to Moshe Greenwald, but since chinuch starts at 3, and the first mitzvah is peis, so that's why we wait till 3 years old to get the upshot. Okay, so in history, there have been many other customs besides for the classical waiting till 3 years old. For example, I don't remember if we did this last week or not. Okay. But if you look at the Nitta Gavriel, he brings down a practice to give the kid an upshan at the age of 2. How many people have been to a 2-year-old upshan? Probably not so many. But this, I think, is a very legitimate source. What's the source? I think we're up to number 11. The Nitta Gavriel writes like this. He quotes a Medrash Tanchum and Parshas Vayera. What's the Medrash Tanchum and Parshas Vayera? Number 11. He writes, Omer Avram Lasara. Avram Avinu told Sarah the following conversation. At your dat, Kishani ben Gimel Shonim Hekarti is Bayrei. Right? Avram Avinu and Sarah over the dinner table one night had the following conversation. Avram says to Sarah, do you know when I was 3, I knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'hanar hazeh godov lo nischanech. And our kid, he's getting big already. And he's not up to chinuch yet. V'yesh mokum echad rochuk mimeni mat, and there's a place that's some distance away. Sheshom mechanchim es hanorim. That's where they educate the children. Akechenu, I want to take him v'achach nusham and give him chinuch there. So apparently, when Avraham Avinu and Sarah lived, there was some gan for little kids that were teaching them chinuch. So Zog the Nitta Gavriel, this is the Makar for 3, because it says that when I was 3, I already knew what was going on, and Yitzchak is not there yet. So Zog the Nitta Gavriel, Zog the Gavriel Tzuna, this medrash is right, he's supposed to be mechanach the kid at the age of 3. Interestingly, if you look at number 12 in the Sefer Chaya Levi, written by one of the Vosners, he writes, Hine etzlenu beskver. He says, in skver, in Skver, the meaning was to give the haircut at 2 years old. Why? So he quotes another medrash. What's the other medrash? And this perhaps is a more famous medrash to us. The medrash says that Avram Avinu made a party. B'yoyim he gamal as Yitzchak benoy. So he gamal. Rashi learns that he weaned them off. So that's pashtus. He stopped nursing from Sarah. So everyone wants to know why is that a reason to make a celebration? So zok the skver rebbe because at the 2-year-old point that's when he made his upshur. But yas Avram is mishdeh. What was this big party? So there's many, many pshatim and why Avram Avinu made a party, a 2-year-old birthday party for Yitzchak. But Zok the Skver Rebbe, that was his upshur. His upshur was at 2 years old. Now, if you learn from that, then it's taka should be a sudas mitzvah. Avram Avinu didn't make just parties for the sake of it. If Avram Avinu made a party, it was given a sudas mitzvah. So if you go like that source, but it would have to be at 2, not at 3, then it would be a sudas mitzvah. Okay, but what I found the most interesting is number 13. He writes over here, Nitag Avril, he writes, V'chein minag polin v'lita, V'chein minag ger v'shadalitz, She'ein k'peda l'galeach l'sholashon. He says in Poland, and in Lita, they were not makbet to give the kids upsharings at 3. Rak achal gil shnasayim k'ayoch l'shmar al nekiyas gufa. They would give it after 2 if the kid was able to be toilet trained. Okay. Now, what's interesting to me about that is that Lita, I can understand. Lita, Lithuania, there's a lot of this is very Hasidic, fine. But Poland had a lot of Hasidim in Poland. Poland was a mix. There was a lot of big Hasidic courts in Poland. There were Litvish, there was, you know. But he claims that in Poland, and he says Ger, which doesn't surprise me, because Ger is a more of a Litvish Hasidus. But now we have that Ger, Skver, Litvish Jews, and Polish Yidden were not makbid on 3 years old. They would have the upsharings at 2 years old. And the truth is, if you look over in number 14, the Sefer Shulchan Gevoya, he quotes the practice that they used to get their upsharings at 5 years old. He writes over in number 14, he says, "Umitzvah nam ikabakach umagalchai de sape Yisrael," and they get the, it's a mitzvah to give the haircut, and they give it through a Jewish barber. Gan hamelach sim samach beiz v'chemri isi po Yerushalayim, I saw here in Yerushalayim, shel gilchu ben chomishonim. The kids will be 5 years old at the upsharings. Becholamoyt shel sukkis betoich achnosas besimchas, they would have it on cholamoyt sukkis to mix it with the simcha of sukkis. The gil aidei saper Yisrael, and they would have it through a Jewish barber. So the ages kind of are vary from location to location. Anywhere at 2, 3, 4, 5, and even further. We'll come back to that a little later today, the idea of a Jewish barber. It's interesting, Rabbi Belsky is quoted as saying that he used to give his kids upsharings when they were 2.5 years old. I guess he felt that 2.5, they're either toilet trained or they know what's going on, but that was like the number that he liked to lose. But again, it's all very up in the air where this all comes from.
So like putting out like for leftover, like state of rooms. I guess
so. We're going to talk.
So
we're going to talk more about that. It's actually a question. There's actually a lot of shas and tshuvas about this, Shiloh. What happens if, let's say, someone has his upsharing? It comes out two ways. Let's say someone's third birthday, like my son, his third birthday fell out in the beginning of Svira. So first of all, should we have given him his haircut during Svira, or should we wait until Lag BaOmer? Or let's say, for example, you have a kid whose birthday is in the summer. So you're not going to wait. He's not going to be able to get Lag BaOmer. So maybe you should give him his birthday earlier. Give the haircut earlier until you get the Meirot. So we'll see. There's actually quite a few tshuvas written on this topic. But I found this tshuva from the Shefa Chaim, from the Klausenberger Rebbe, page 2, which I thought was just an important lesson that we should just think about. That the idea behind the upsharing. So we're saying the idea behind the upsharing is it's his first intro to mitzvahs, and the first mitzvah we pick is a mitzvah of payas. Why is that the first mitzvah we pick? So the Shefa Chaim writes like this. He says, "Nearly hoisif da'idei giluach asar onu mechanchino." He said, "What are we teaching our children with haircuts? Shlo yelech b'chukas ha'goyim. They should not be like the goyim. Hamigadlim belurois. The goyim used to have, they used to let the hair grow. Vonu roitzim lechanchino." Right, the kid has long hair now, and we want to cut it off. Right, so many people, like, it breaks their heart. That's why they take before and after pictures to contrast the hair when it's long and the hair when it's short. Some of these kids are beautiful. My first son had no hair. His upshur, and I should have got money back from the barber. There was nothing to cut. My second son, can I know? He's got a gazunta here, mamish, all the way down to his back. Everyone thinks he's a girl. Fantastic, okay? So there you get your money's worth when you do an upshur, at least, right? So there you see the difference between a kid with long hair, because the goyim, they have long hair. Yiddish, Jewish people don't have long hair. So Dr. Klausenberger Rebbe, that's the lesson over here. We want to teach our children, kishemats chalumoid, milvad chinuch l'teir shebiksav kanal l'teir shebapet. Besides that, they have to learn Torah and keep the mitzvahs. Anachnu mechanchim oisei gam l'das Yisrael. Sheyelech kedas moishev Yisrael. You have to act like a Jew, look like a Jew, be a Jew, live like a Jew. You have to teach your children, you can't look like a guy, you can't dress like a guy, don't have long hair like a goy. Another interesting message about upsherds. But listen to we haven't yet talked about the Litvish approach to upsherds yet. We've quoted from more Hasidic based sources. Listen to Rav Moshe Sternbach. Klausenberger Rebbe. So Zog Rav Moshe Sternbach, an unbelievable comment from the Chazinish. He quotes over here, he says, Shemua Shemati, Rav Moshe Sternbach, lives today in Eretz Yisrael, he says, I heard the following comment from the Chazinish. Shechabeinu HaChazinish Omar Loi Lahaktim, the Chazinish told people, do not give your kid a haircut before his third birthday. Sheze Mazik Lizikaran Ayelet. It could affect your child's memory. Can you imagine the Chazinish? You can't get more Litvisha than the Chazinish. Chazanish lived in Vilna. Chazanish was a spitz Litvish Yid. And the Chazanish supposedly said that don't give your kid a haircut before his third birthday, it's going to affect his Zikar. So Moshe Sternbach concludes, Avolein is barely Mikar Hashmu of Amitasa. But I can't validate or verify the authenticity of this statement. That's interesting, he even writes it in the Sefer. Right? If everyone, you know, all the Lamashal, Pesach Kron, he prides himself on the amount of research that he does before he puts a story into his book. He calls and he calls and he mamish references and researches it. Someone just told me the other week, b'shem, that Rabbi Farner does the same thing also. Even when he tells over a story, he also will not tell over a story unless he has all the details and he verifies and he checks it, you know. But here, Moshe Sternbach throws a comment like this from the Chazanish, and he admits, I can't verify the source. Now, this is a major comment from the Chazanish. That means the Chazanish would say, don't push up an upsharon. Okay, kid, Chazanish was so makban and upsharons. Now, there's only one answer that's going to make things right. The answer is, this is not true. There's a false comment. This is fake news. So take a look over here, and I'll prove it to you. I have proof. But I don't believe for one second the Chazanish ever made such a comment. Because I don't believe the Chazanish ever bought into upsharons in the first place. Because the Chazanish, as we mentioned, was a very, very Litvish Jew. Litvish Jews don't buy into this hakpada, you know, this idea. Again, in the Hasidic circles, it's sacred. They do not touch that kid's hair for 3 years. And they will not do anything early unless they have permission from the Rebbe to cut his hair early. But the Litvish Jews, they cut it in 2 years, 2.5 years. Like I said, Rabbi Belsky cut his kids' hairs at 2.5 years, right? Because whatever, the kid's old enough. But we'll see one of the proofs that this was fake. What's one of the proofs? Number 17. So this fellow who wrote a sefer called Shon HaRevius, that's a playoff on the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. Right, Shalosh Shanim Yel Lachem Arelim Lo Yachel. The first 3 years are Arla. Ubashana Revius. That's the name of his sefer. So he says, yes, Rebbe Chaim Kanievsky. The Heishiv De Ein Kol Issa Legaleach Koydim Gimel Shana. Rebbe Chaim Kanievsky told him explicitly, there is nothing wrong with giving your kid a haircut before 3 years. V'sugya Aruchi B'Moyd Katan. And Rebbe Chaim Kanievsky pointed out to him before Shigamai, Moyd Katan. Where's the Gemara Moed Katan? Oh, Mashmuel Katan, Reil B'Moyed, Mutal Galech B'Moyed. There's a Mefurshah Gemara. The Gemara says if a kid is born on Cholamoyed, you give him a haircut on Cholamoyed. So you see that the kid's not three, it's not 3 years later, it's the kid's under three, it's still allowed to give him a haircut. So they asked him, V'hodemotim Ishmei de Chazanish, Ta'adov Ekoshel Zikaroin. Your uncle, the Chazanish, said that it could affect a child's memory. Said this, I don't believe my uncle ever said it. And many statements are attributed to the Chazanish that are not true. And my father, the stipler, who was a brother-in-law to the Chazanish, but actually was like a Talmud to the Chazanish, he followed everything the Chazanish said that my father said you can give your kid a haircut before 3 years old. Now, if the Chazanish was against it, there's no way the stipler would have done that. So this is totally an utter fake news. And it's amazing, because it's quoted by a lot of people. Chazanish said, the Chazanish never said it. Lo hayo v'lo niver. And I'll prove it to you. Take a look at number 18. This sefer is called Ocher Shvabeinu. This is a sefer that records all the various practices of the stipler. The author of the fellow's name is Rabbi Horowitz. He records different things about his Rebbe, the stipler. And he writes, Sipa, like Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, Shashar, Las Aviv, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky told me that he asked his father, Benegayim, Lasapa, Yelad, Begila, Shol, Shom, Las, Lapayas. He asked him about making an upsharon. Oma, Moiv, Rebbe, Shazay, Rak, Menegi, Rishalayim, Lasapa, Begila, Legil, Shol, he said, no, this is he blamed it on the Svardim. He said, it's Menegi, Rishalayim. Menegi, Rishalayim. This Makar, and that's actually true. The earliest place where the minhag to be makbid on haircuts goes back to minhag Yerushalayim, and I would venture to say somewhere around the 15, 1600s. Then the chassidim, 200 years later, really picked it up and ran with it. But the original minhag was minhag Yerushalayim, and most likely by Sephardic Jews. So that was the stipler's answer. He says, "V'efsher gam lefnei kain." You can give the kid the hiccup before 3 years also. So let's say, for example, it works out scheduling purposes to give the kid, let's say, for example, the kid's born in the summer, and you want to do it on Magbaimer. Either because you're going to Meron, you're not going to Meron. It's just, or let's say you want to do it on a day because it works out better for family, right? The summer's busy, people are going away, you're going away. So says the stipler, no problem, do it before. Nachtei mai v'rebi, the grandchildren of the stipler. Mesabim oisa la'acha gimel gil shnasayim. They got their haircuts after 2 years. Melois lehem shalosh, miterim melois lehem shalosh shanim. Before it was a full 3 years. Ubali kol me'uram yuchad, without any special parties. So the stipler's einiklach didn't make a hopla about upshot. It can't be the Chazanish held that's kashal zikaron. It can't even be that the Chazanish maybe said it, because I can't imagine the stipler would take a risk with his grandchildren to do anything that potentially could affect the zikaron atayra. So I have to be convinced that this was 100% not true. Chazanish never said it, and therefore there is no such problem. What is interesting is that the source of this practice of upsharings dates back to the Shari Tshuva. Now the Shari Tshuva was the brother of Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis, the famous Mat Ephraim, Shari Ephraim, right? His brother, they were brothers. So that takes us to at least the end of the 1700s, the beginning of the 1800s. So he writes the following, and this is a very important Shari Tshuva. He writes, "V'ayin began Hamelech." Now I couldn't find out who the Gan Hamelech is, but he quotes an earlier source. It's permissible to delay the celebration of the child in order so you can make it on Chol HaMoed. And he thinks it's even a mitzvah to do that. Now, one second. Not every boy, not every child is born on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So if you're making all the upshots on Chol HaMoed, that means you're playing around with the dates, right? It's impossible. Not every kid was born. Either you're making it earlier or you're making it later. Right? This is the Shari Tshuva talking. Right? The stipler didn't make it up. It's the Shari Tshuva. This minig of making a simcha on an upsharing comes from minig Eretz Yisrael. I love when people blame it on the Chassidim. It's not the Chassidim. It's minig Eretz Yisrael. The Chassidim ran with this because of the Arizal, but it really was before that. And he writes, "Shoisin simcha b'tiglachas harishayna shakad." We make a big joy on the child's first haircut. Why? Shemechanchin oisay b'mitzvah liyos lo peyas harosh, because we're teaching him to the mitzvah of peyas harosh. Va'ayim b'pri etz chayim. Then he quotes the famous Reb Chaim Vital. One of the other sources that we have for upsharon is Reb Chaim Vital, who records a practice from his Rebbe the Arizal. Va'ayim b'pri etz chayim shar sviyos oim mishakosav binyan holchem al kever Reb Shimon bar Yochai. The Reb Chaim Vital records a practice from his Rebbe, that his Rebbe, the Arizal, took one of his children to get their upsharon, but where'd they go? They went to Meiron. They went to Meiron. Shaholchim al kever Reb Shimon bar Yochai v'Reb Eliezer benoy b'Meiron b'lamed gimel ba'omer. Shero es moire Arizal shaholach shom legaleich as benoy b'mishteh v'simcha b'yom ha'mehen. So one of the earliest sources of A, going to Meiron, and B, even making it a simcha, was the Arizal. Takes us to the 16th century. So at least this practice is 700 years old. Now, did the Rishonim do anything? Most likely not. But at least we have from the Arizal, he was one of the first to really bring out this minig of going to Reb Shimon bar Yochai. If we have time, or we'll get to it next week, we'll see that that wasn't the original minig. The original minig was not to go to Reb Shimon bar Yochai, actually. The original minig was to go to Shmuel HaNavi. That was the original minig, which was found in the times of the Rishonim. So hopefully we'll get to that next week. Why do they go to Rashbi? So we have to figure that out also. But it seems like going to Rashbi was a secondary practice. The original practice was really to go to Shmuel HaNavi. And if you take a look over in the Sefer Vayoshev Am, he writes the following. He says, Rishon HaMedabim Bazeh, who's one of the first people who talks about upsharons and upsharons with travel? It's the Radvaz. Now the Radvaz lived at the end of the 15th century. The Radvaz lived 1479 to 1573. Which, we're on source 20. Now that's, if I told you those dates and you're quick with your math, he lived an unbelievably long amount of time for that time. Right? He was born in 1479 and died in 1573. How long did he live? 94 years. That's remarkable to live 94 in the 15th century. That's just, Arichas Yomim, unbelievable. Even now it's amazing, but go back 700 years. To live, that's about, not 700 years, my math is wrong. Going back 500 years, right? 520 years, right? That's amazing. He wrote 3,000 tshuvas to Radvaz. 3,000 tshuvas. He started off in Spain, and what do you think happened? Got expelled. Got kicked out. He had to leave Spain like everyone else. So he ended up in traveling a lot of different places, and he ended up in Egypt. And then he ultimately ended up in Eretz Yisrael, and he ended up with, in Tzvas, with the Beis Yosef and all the other Goinim of that time in the 16th century. So he has a tshuva about this. That means at least going back to the 1500s, there's some mention of upsharons. Now again, he was Sephardic, A, and B, he at the end of his life lived in Eretz Yisrael. So that works well with our Eretz Yisrael minhag. And he writes the following. This is Reb Yaakov Hillel. Yashiv Om is Reb Yaakov Hillel. For those of you that study Kabbalah, I don't know how many there are here. Reb Yaakov Hillel has a yeshiva today in Eretz Yisrael for Mekubalim. He happens to be a massive Talmud Chacham, and he learned in Panovich actually. Reb Yaakov Hillel. He also has a regular Kohel. He's a massive Talmud Chacham. He also has an extremely large family.
He's
a massive Talmud Chacham, and he writes very geshmaka tshuvas that we've used them for many different topics. If you remember when we had a shiur about Zoyar. He wrote extensively on Zohar, learning Zohar not. So here he has a tshuva about it. He writes like this. Rishon HaMedaber Mazeh. Who's the first to talk about Absharins? HaRadvaz B'tshuvas. He calls the tshuvas Radvaz. That what? Shenishal that was asked. Al Misha Neder Legalei Chasaros B'nei B'mokim Kvur Shmuel Hanavi. A guy made a neder. He's gonna give his kid an Absharin. Where? By the Kevish Shmuel Hanavi. Michael, I'm going to have to mute you. So I'm hearing myself, which is annoying. Okay, good. No, I'm happy it's working. Good. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Chaz Deshem. Okay. Halavai Vayter. Okay. So what happened over here? Someone made a neder that he's going to give his kid a upsharing by Shmuel Hanavi's kever. So what do you see? That the original practice back then was at least to get it by Shmuel Hanavi's kever, not by Rashbi. And what happened? V'nimna m'menu l'kayim nidre kivin sh'agoyim hayu oz mayinim l'yehudim l'konesham. The guy couldn't go because there were goyim there. There were, Arabs, whatever, whoever lived there, didn't allow him to take his son there. And the shiloh was, what does he do with the nether? The guy promised, he made up that he was going to go to Shmuel Hanavi's kever to give his son an upsharon, and now he can't go. There's limitations, right? We have that in Meron even now this year, which I don't think is such a bad thing, Baruch Hashem. Limit the amount of people that come and go and keep it safe. So what did the Radvaz answer? The Heshivai Radvaz, the Kvarnogu b'chol ha-galilois lachshiv zeh nether gomer minidvei tztaka. That's a legitimate nether. When a person says he's going to make a neder that he wants to go to Shmuel Hanavi, that's a real neder. This is another important practice. They used to donate the value of the hair. They used to donate the value of the hair of the child, that amount of money to tztaka, which people still do today. Right? The kid has a lot of hair, so I don't know what the price value of hair is today, but whatever it was, they would figure out the mishkal, the weight, and they would give that amount of money to tztaka. And he writes, "V'noyist mishkal asal tzerich hamokam lahadikol of shav v'shemen ulishatrochem." That money used to go to the upkeep of Shmuel Hanavi's kever. V'gam chelik laniim l'tzerich tzibur ulchein nechshav neder gomer. So Radvaz says, "No, if you promise that you're going, you gotta make it work. You gotta give the money. Okay, obviously, you can't physically go there, but you still gotta give the money." You still got to give the money that you would have given had you made it to Shmuel Hanavi. So Zog to Moshe Hillel, Haresha, are you minuk kodom Yisrael legalach Haresha ketanim al kevet tzaddik? At least you see that there's a practice to give the child an upsharon by a tzaddik's kever. Now, why was it Rashbi and not Shmuel Hanavi? We'll have to figure out. But originally, and Nitta Gavriel makes this argument also. We'll have to get to it probably in that loose paper that I gave out. Hopefully, we'll get to it. That the original minuk in the times of the Rishonim was to go to Shmuel Hanavi's kever, not to go to Rashbi's kever. So why do we go to Rashbi's kever? Why does Shmuel Hanavi become the star of the show? Okay, that could be. So if you look over here, there's a very interesting Gemara in Makkos. The Gemara in Makkos writes in number 21, Omar Rava, Rava said, "The elide imo k'reb Shimon teled. If the mother will give birth to a child like Reb Shimon, she should give birth. If not, loy teled, she shouldn't give birth." Talk about the abortion rules. Wow. What does this Gemara mean? The Gemara says, if a lady is going to give birth to a baby like Reb Shimon Bayechoy, let her give birth. If not, she shouldn't give birth. What does that mean? So like Rashi, Kol she'imo yeledes, whenever a mother is giving birth, tevakeshes rachamim, she should daven to Hashem, hirotzen she'iye k'Reb Shimon. Every mother should daven, not that, and if my child's not Reb Shimon, I don't want him, but whenever a mother gives birth, she should daven that her son should grow up to be like Rashbi, which is a major, major, major she'ifas for our children, but that's what the Gemara says. So they come along over here, there was a sefer called Apraxa de Anya. We'll come back to it. That's the Gemara Makkos.
Oh,
that's Gemara Makkos. Staff I didn't write the Gemara. Okay, I think it's Daf Tezayin, Yidzayin, I don't remember. So there's a sefer called Apraxa de Anya. Apraxa de Anya was written by a yid named David Sperber. David Sperber. He was a Romanian Rav, big gadol, survived the war. He ended up moving to Eretz Yisrael. He was the Rav in the town of Brasov. Okay? He was Rav in Romania, he survived the war. He came to Eretz Yisrael. He was very, very involved in Eretz Yisrael, and he died in 1962. But his sefer carries a lot of weight in halachic literature, at least in the sugya of Teglachas, for sure. So he wrote a sefer, I don't have it, so I quoted someone who has it. He wrote a sefer called Separate Kuntres on Haircuts. So there he writes the following. He says, oh, now we understand why the upsharons are by Rashbi's kever. He says, number 22, he writes, Hagoyim Mibrashov, that was the town in Romania where he was the Rav. He was the Avbezdin in Brasov. He writes like this: the Mekan Yesh Mekar LaMinik Shemalich Natinik LeKivish Reb Shimon BeMiron V'Shom Oisim LaChalaka TikLachas MeShiyum LaPas Broish Ki Even the Amar Hacha Rava Shekol Ein Mispali He Rotsin Sheib Beno Kimay Reb Shimon. Since Rava told us that every mother davens that her son should grow up to be like Reb Shimon, Lachin Malin Oisim LeKivish Reb Shimon Shetiskabel Tzvilos Sheib Beno Kimay Reb Shimon. So it's very apropos at the time when he starts to get introduced to Chinuch HaMitzvos, you take him and you daven that he should be like the person that's right here in the kever. So it's very apropos, said Reb Apraxadanya. He thought it was very apropos to take a child to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's kever. Again, there's still many other great gedolim and great people, but that's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's connection. It's interesting, there's a shayla, it's great I stuck on the gate for my son's upsharon, but whether or not you're allowed to make an upsharon in a shul. Or make an upsharon in a shul. Right? A shul is a makam kaddish. You don't give haircuts in shuls. So you're allowed to do the, again, the party is one thing, but let's say the haircutting. Are you allowed to do a haircutting in a shul? Shul is a it's not your backyard. It's a makam kaddish.
Now, is that doctor in a shul, or let's say in a school, in a classroom would be okay?
But yeah, it doesn't have kedushas basic. I'm talking about makam, again, I'm not talking about even, let's say, this room. I'm not sure if this room has kedushas basic nesses. You know, the main thing, the main shul in every shul, whether, and I've been to upsharons in shuls. I've been to them. I'm sure many of you probably have also been to, you know, wherever you can find space, you do it. So can you do the hair cutting in a shul? So it's taka a deer in the achrayim. So I picked over here from the Sefer Tzedakah Mishpat, but this is Rev Bloy from Eretz Yisrael. So he paskins mutter. He writes over here, Umikomok and Nogu Lasis Tiklacha Shal Mitzvah Besak Nesis. It's based on a kafachayim, and this is a mitzvah, this upsharon. Again, not sure why it's more of a mitzvah than any time you get a haircut. It's also a mitzvah. Because every time you get a haircut, you're also not cutting off the corner of your pays. But for some reason, there's some special thing that's given to the first haircut that it could be done in a shul. It would be more to be done in a shul. I found from Rabbi Avigdor Nevin Saul.
By the way, yeah. I don't understand that the first time you get the haircut, the first time, there, the reason we say it is because it's pays. Afterwards, it's not up close. Your hair isn't that long.
Well, you technically could easily, the barber could just go like that.
No, but since when do you ever get a mitzvah for not?
Oh, good. That's where you have to get to. That's the big cash on this whole sugya. If the whole celebration is the fact that the kid doesn't shave his payas, yeah. When do we make a celebration for not being over a lav? We make a celebration for doing a positive mitzvah.
Right.
But pasa roish is not a positive mitzvah. Doesn't say in the Torah, it just says, lo yisakifu pas reishechem. Means don't cut off your pace. So why is this all hupla celebration for not being over alav? That doesn't fit. That's a good kasha. Well, hopefully we'll get to it in the other booklet that I didn't make. I have it. I didn't make the copies, but the booklet is made, just that the copies had some technical problems. So whatever. Well, hopefully we'll get to it next week. So listen to the shaylas. They asked me about, yeah.
Is
chinuch
considered a mitzvah?
Yeah, chinuch is a mitzvah. Yes.
That maybe what
So that's probably what you're going to have to say, is that the first haircut is not off the haircut, but it's off the parents. The chinuch of the parents. That's probably what you're going to say. Yeah, that's a good pshat. Meaning, that's what you have to say. It's not the haircut itself, but it's the fact that the parents are being mechanech their children. Now again, there's a lot of mitzvahs the parents being mechanech their child with. But the first, again, according to that method, it's just the first time you now the whole thing is very funny, as we pointed out last week. By the time the kid hits three, he's been going to some form of a preschool or some form of a mora where he's been learning tons of mitzvahs, and the parents have been mechanechim. To say that this is like his first exposure to mitzvahs is very hard to imagine, you know. But okay, that's the pshat they say. But listen to this from Avigdor Nevin Saul, number 24b. He writes like this: Yelet shegiel gil shosh, a kid hits three. Hayimut l'saparoy say b'chol amoid b'sukkah. Can you give him an upsharon on Chol HaMoed and do it in the sukkah? Okay. Right? So he says, can, sure. Lama, so I asked him why. Kizu sumcha v'ktsas mitzvah. V'ktsas mitzvah. Whatever that means. Again, we're going to come back to the Imar v'simcha v'simcha, actually. We're going to talk about that. That's the kasha Menashe Klein has on the Shari Tshuva. But Lamaisa, we saw from the Shari Tshuva that there was a practice that we used to bedavka make upsharns on Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed Sukkah is a Pesach, whichever one. But here, Rabbi Avigdor Nevenzahl is pointing out that again, the Sukkah has much less Kedusha than a Shul. That's Pashut, right? That we all know. But Rabbi Avigdor Nevenzahl thought that there is nothing wrong with making an upsharn in a Sukkah, even though there is a Shtekel Kedusha, you're not allowed to be Mavaza a Sukkah. I told you guys about the shayla I got once about can you bring the TV into the sukkah to watch a football game? Okay, shayla, real shayla. Hashanah Rabbah was on a Sunday a few years ago, and that was when there was a big football game. The Jets were playing in England, so the times were all off. So someone asked me, Teshuva came to Duru. He watched the football game in his living room. He wants to bring it into the sukkah. Okay. So, something to talk about a different time. But in any case, so obviously, anyways, Lamaisa, we know you're not allowed to do Dvar and Bizri in the Sukkah. Right? You're not allowed to do Dvar and Bizri in the Sukkah. So again, so Rabbi Avigdor Nevenzahl said it's not a Dvar Bizri. But again, you don't have a ride that he holds you can do it in the Shul, but at least in the Sukkah you could do the upshot. Now if you take a look over here, number 23, it's another Sefer that I found, where he also tries to draw some connection between Rashbi and upsharons. What's the connection between Rashbi and upsharons? So he says over here, he says that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai gave the promise that the Torah will never be forgotten from the children of Klal Yisrael. So therefore he says that maybe that's why we go to Rashbi. When a child first gets introduced into Yadus, the Torah of Mitzvot, we have this promise from Rashbi that it will never be forgotten. So maybe that's what he says, that the Rashbi was the one who promised. Okay? Now, if you take a look over number 25, that was the Sefer I told you all earlier, Apraxa de Anya, this was written by Reb David Sperber. So he writes this in number 25. He also got the shayla. Lasa is chetzoyne chafatzi laishiva bedovet tiglachas haben b'meloyis lo gimel shonim im nochin la'achrek tzas le'ezet tzerich. Let's say you want to delay an upsharing. Let's say the kid's birthday falls out during tax season. Okay? You don't have any time to make an upsharing. You push it off. April, May, whatever it is. Is there anything wrong with delaying a child's upsharing? So we talked before about bringing earlier a child's upsharing. That supposedly the Chazon Ish said is dangerous, which we said is not true. Let's say you want to delay it. So he writes that he says, go back to that Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva said that they used to schedule upsharings for Chol HaMoed. Now if you're scheduling an upsharing for Chol HaMoed, that means the baby wasn't born on Chol HaMoed. It means you're playing around with his birthday. So you see it's mutter. He writes, Darei kotzev ha-ber heitiv, orachayim sim tovkuf olam al, b'shem gan ha-melech, demutu la'achir simchas tiglachas ha-ben ad Chol HaMoed. So he says, you see from over there that it's 100% okay. If you're going to poke all the upsharons on Chol HaMoed, Pesach, and Sukkot, then not every baby born on Chol HaMoed, Pesach, and Sukkot. So you see that the timing is not such a big deal. And then he says something very interesting over here. He writes, page 3, number 26. V'simchas tiglachas ikonami mishma medivrei medrashanal. He thinks that medrash Tanchuma Parshas Kedoshim, that's the makor for upsharings. Why? It says over there, he lulim. What does it say in the pasuk? Ubashana harivius. It says benachma. Shalosh shem yelachem arayim lechal b'shana harivius. Then it says he lulim lahashem. That's plural. He lulim. So he writes shemahale laKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, that's why we wait till Lag Boimer. To who? Yom Hilula de Rashbi. Because it's also the yard side of the Rashbi. So now it's two Hilulas, it's two parties. One is the upsharing and one is the Hilula of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai.
What is the exact French of Hilula?
Probably means yard site or celebration.
Which one?
Probably more celebration. Probably means more celebration. Probably more celebration. So he writes over here, he says, Yeshlema oytam sheiches gzeres. Then he says another reason. The sheiches between Lag Ba'omer and upsharins. Apimashkos b'sefer ha-kavonis, the Balab Gibel Ba'omer, whose man siluk oy hamtokas ad-dinim. We know that during the Yimei Asfir, there's a certain element of din. And that gets sweetener or softer on Lag Ba'omer. V'hasar reis heim mitzitra d'dino. And here is somehow also connected to din. And therefore, since Lag Ba'omer is when din gets softer, that's why it's a good time to cut the hair. Again, way beyond my comfort zone of understanding, but that's what he writes over here.
That doesn't do three.
Right. Well, in his Daiti Divir, okay? He writes a Gevaldik Chiddush now. If you remember last week, we had a Gemara. The Gemara says that if a kid, you can give a baby a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Says in Shulchan Aruch, you can give a child a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So we were bothered. I thought you have to wait till the kid's three. How could you give a child so early? So Zok Deb David Sperber, that's not pshat in the Mechaber. The Mechaber says you can give a child a haircut when give a kid a haircut on Chol HaMoed. You know what he means? He means a child can get his upshare in Chol HaMoed. Not a regular haircut. It means the upshare. So he writes it this, unbelievable. He says, "Hey, na'atzmum kavonas ha'mechaber sham sevav." The mashakos of cotton mutar legalech b'moyid. It says in mechaber that a child is allowed to get a haircut achol moyid. I feel annoyed that koyd meregel, even though the baby was born before yomtiv. Before yomtiv, the baby was born, he's still allowed to take a haircut. We had the kash. What do you mean haircuts? The kids are not allowed to take a haircut until he turns three. Says Aprak, says Anya, no. He says lezekos of I feel annoyed that. He says, "Not what it means. You know what it means? It means." It's referring to upsharings. So what does it mean, afilu noilad? It means that even though he already hit 3 years old before, he said that's what it means. It means that even though this kid turned three before Yom Tov, and you should have had his upsharing before Yom Tov, but you wanted to make his upsharing a chol moed, that's allowed. But avada, avada, you don't see anywhere that you're not allowed to give a kid, but we don't see anything about under three. He makes a massive akim to the mechaber that when the mechaber says you're allowed to give a kid a haircut on Chol HaMoed, it means the kid who's upsharing is on Chol HaMoed, whose upsharing fell out before Chol HaMoed. Very big akim to. And then he writes another chiddush. He writes, he doesn't think it's a good idea to delay an upsharing. You're supposed to do a mitzvah in its proper time. The kiva da asamachinu leminag zakra. The Gimel Shon Marelim Yu, since the Maisa, we attributed this minog to that pasuk. Vade in la haktim, v'gam in la akvoy b'teiras oral b'chinazu afilu yoyim echado. You should not delay or push off or bring up early even one day.
But he's saying that it's a mitzvah.
Right. This is a big chiddush. He's calling this a mitzvah. It's a, what's the mitzvah?
You write a mitzvah, you don't give up.
Very hard. What's the mitzvah?
If anything, at best, it's a minute.
The best is, well, right. It's nothing. You let the kid grow his hair for another 10 years, right? Exactly. Whatever he wants. Very strange. So there's an interesting shailas in the Achronim about what happens when the kid's birthday falls out on days where you can't give him a haircut. Let's say the kid's birthday falls out on Shabbos. He turns three on Shabbos. When do you give him the haircut? So you can either go Friday or you can go Sunday. Well, which is better? If you're going to go Friday, you're going to go early. You're going to go Shabbos. Sunday, you're going to delay it.
Well, if it's a mitzvah, then you should be mocked.
Right, you should be mocked him, right?
If it's not a mitzvah, then
you're mocked. So Reb Shmuel has a tshuva about this. Number 27, he writes. He says, L'maisa, we know that the minhag is to wait until he's 3 years old. But he says, Av benidon didon, the gal chikvar me'ev Shabbos kadosh pshita din l'hachma l'maisa. He says, if the baby's born on Shabbos, give him the haircut on Friday. Even though we taka don't want to do it earlier, because it's Shabbos, so then we go to Friday, not the end of the world. Then you can do it on Friday. And Itta Gavriel brings down something very cute over here. He writes, "Katan Shemalo Lo Shalish Shalom B'Yom Rishon." Let's say a kid's third birthday is on Sunday. Yesh Noigim LaHaktim Esat Tespiris LaEiv Shabbos Kedim Chatzai. Some people they talk and give him the haircut on Friday. For Hileches Hayela the Cheder V'Shar Anyani Chinuch Lasis B'Yom Rishon and all the other Chinuch things he does on Sunday. Okay, so he writes on the footnote V'Shaalti Memoyi V'Rebbe Mipapa. He said, I asked the Papa Rebbe, how? Pasha Adover, how do you explain this? She'enei poisek hizkinei balarugas haboisim. It's against the Zayda. We mentioned that the Rugas haboisim, the Moshe Greenwald, was the Alta Zayda from the Papa dynasty that we have today. What did that Rugas haboisim hold? Rugas haboisim was very adamant that you're not supposed to do it early. So if the kid's birthday is on Sunday, why are you doing it on Friday? So he asked the Papa Rebbe, he said, you're just going like, again, for Litvishers, this wouldn't be a kash, because Litvishers do what they want. But Chassidim, they do whatever the Tata did, whatever the Zayda did. And here that Rugas HaBaisim, the Moshe Ben Ravoda Tshuva, we saw it last week, but he was very adamant about not doing it early. And here the Papa Rebbe says, yeah, go do it early. So he writes, Gevaldik, he says, Veheshev, She'il moli hoi yoda zekeni sheminik belz lahaktim al yoma de pagro, loi hoi machri ken. He says, yeah, that's because my Zayda, I mentioned this last time, that Rugas HaBaisim really was a Litvisher. Really, I'm saying he started out as an Oibelander, Talmud of the Ksav Sefer. He got very mushba by the Belzer Rebbe. By the Belzer Rebbe. So he didn't know that the Belzer Rebbe held that when it falls out on Sunday, you do the haircut on Friday. So if my Zayda would have known that, he thought he would have agreed to me. Okay, very interesting Hasidic tale about the how things got off the ground. Now, if you look over here, Rav Shishtemach discusses a legitimate question. Let's say you have a kid whose birthday is in the summer. Do you make his upshot on Lag BaOmer, or do you wait till the summer and do it in the middle of the summer? So he says it depends where you live. If you live in Eretz Yisrael and you have intention of going to Meiron, he thinks you should be makdimit to do it in Meiron on Lag BaOmer. But he says if you're in America, you're not going to Meiron, so then you should do it at the right time. He writes number 29. L'chein b'Meiron shaper b'samach l'fenel l'achrea yesh noigim b'stab b'sham. If you go 29 left corner. If you're going to Meiron, he says then you should play around with the days to make it happen. Shama v'shematish kin hayre kami admirer. Many rebbes paskin that way. Aval benida d'zon shalfenel b'chutz laaretz ha'ikur shloi l'haktem m'saper b'lag b'ayim. He says, but if you're in chutz laaretz, don't do it earlier. Do it bismanoi. Even though you won't be able to be on Lag BaOmer. And he writes, "Lamaisa yesh stab be medavka do it on the proper day." Aval be'Eretz Yisrael she rabim noisem the Meiron the saper. But since in Eretz Yisrael, where people go to Meiron, halo yesh b'chnasas b'simone yahados b'simcha uberabim me'ein kiddush Hashem berabim. So new kiddush. He thinks that when you do it in Eretz Yisrael, it's a kiddush Hashem. People are seeing how you're being mekadosh your son with mitzvahs. He says, "V'gam hakodesh Arizal noiglin sodem Meiron legalech b'noi b'lab megibah b'omer." We know that the Arizal, we mentioned this earlier, that the Arizal went for an upsharing first on in Meiron. Avshe mitzvah chaviva be'idna kam b'roivam hadras melech v'hanu b'Meiron lag b'omer. He thinks that even though we say it's better to do the mitzvah in the right time, but it's better to do it b'roivam hadras melech, and therefore he thinks that if you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael, you should push it up to lag b'omer. If you're going to be in America, then do it in the summer when it falls out. Okay. Shnebuch, yeah. Okay. It's not a gear. It wasn't, again, my gratitude. So the shayla is, let's say, for example, my son, he turned 3 a few weeks ago. So shayla, should we have done his upsharing during Sfira and not wait till Lag BaOmer? Is he allowed to have tiglachas during Sfira? Well, let's say you have a kid who's born during the 3 weeks. So do you wait till after the 3 weeks to give the kid a haircut? Or do you do it in the middle of the 3 weeks? So that we'll see is taka shayla. We'll see the place can talk about that shayla. But here's another interesting thing. Number 30. You should do the upsharings in the morning. You know why? I'll tell you very simple. Because they're 3-year-olds. They don't do well at night. None of the Paiskim took that into consideration. But they're talking about from hechera reasons. What's the no, if I could, I would do it at night. Do it the night before. Uh-huh. Right? So let's say, for example, the kid turns 3 tomorrow.
Yeah, there's not a big rush, you think.
Do the hiccup tonight.
But then you make the holy lula.
We'll come back to that. So if push-up shot is, you got to wait till Tzitzit Kechavim. Tzitzit Kechavim is like 9 o'clock. You keep your kid up till 9 o'clock to give him a haircut, I wouldn't do it. I would not suggest it. But they say, no, there's a real reason not to do it at night. You know why? It's based on another Arizal. The Magen Avraham brings an Arizal that the Arizal will not get haircuts anytime after Chatzos. He wouldn't take haircuts. So therefore, they assume that if the Arizal wouldn't take haircuts after Chatzos, the clock starts from after Chatzos daytime all the way till sunlight the next morning. So you can't do haircuts at night. Okay. Now the truth is, many achrayim, that's not pshat in the Arizal at all, had nothing to do with Lila. It had to do with the fact that he was worried about Zman Mincha. But in any case, there is such a practice. But he concludes, Achim Yirtzu Yuchel Lesapa Gamba Lila. But if you want to give the kid an upsharing at night, you can do it at night also. Now, why would you want to give the kid an upsharing tomorrow night? Tomorrow night is Wednesday night. Wednesday night is the eve of Lag BaOmer. So we know the Mishnah Berurah paskins that we're not allowed to take haircuts till Thursday morning, till after Alois HaShachar. What about to do an upsharing? So he writes over here, Gam b'layla shal Lag BaOmer muta legalecha yaladim. He thinks, no, for that you can be mekel. You can give a kid an upsharing tomorrow night. So I told my wife, let's do it tomorrow night. She nixed that plan very fast. Because again, you're going to have to wait till Vade Laila. You're going to have to wait till Tzitzit Kechavim. That means you're not starting till 9 o'clock. It's not a good idea to start 9 o'clock for an upsharing. Yeah.
Just to clarify, some of them, they talk about Chol HaMoed Sukkos, but someone just said Chol HaMoed. So are they okay with
Pesach? Right, so that would... Exactly, right. So I guess they're probably trying to stay clear of that question. But the truth is, he wouldn't be a problem for Sphere anyways. Meaning if a kid's allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, he's most likely allowed to get a haircut on Sphere as well.
Then why are we talking about whether you can do it at night or the day for Lag BaOmer?
Right, that's exactly why he's Mekel. I mean, that's why exactly he's...
And
that's
you can do it on the 32nd too.
Correct, that's why he's saying it's even more Mekel because it's the night before. That's his Cheshb. Then Rav Moshe Sternberg talks about something which we have to get into a little bit more for the next year. He writes like this. There's a practice that they used to bring the child to get his hair cut by big chashuva people. Then he writes in parentheses, Mimorin hagriz de brisk shamati to loy shemiyale. The brisk grove didn't hear of this. Kloimar, loy svirale haimin hoga shir abonim yigalechu. Surprising, right? The Biskarov wasn't a fan of giving haircuts to kids on their upsharings. Now, on the next page, that will hopefully... Exactly. You'll see on the next page, it's even more than that. We'll get to that. He writes, but listen to what the Biskarov said. He said, He said, "Ukedai levakish bracha biyam shenichnas mutar." He thinks, "No, it's kedai to get a bracha. Take the kid to the gadol. Just don't ask the gadol to cut his hair." I mean, he wasn't against getting brachas on the day the kid's machnas l'tayra, which we'll see. The idea of hachnosas l'cheder, bringing the child to cheder on his birthday, that's brought down in Rishonim. Rishonim. It's a serious thing. But he says, that I'm not against. Briskos, I'm not against giving children brachas. I'm just against asking the rabbi to be a barber. He says, we'll see more about that later. Now take a look at number 32 for a second. It's somehow connected to be effective his chinuch. So I did see some people make the argument that the grandparents should be more involved because they might have a chiyuv chinuch of their grandchildren. We'll see in a second the mother. Right, that was a share we had last year. We never did the share here. I did it in my show. We did it, right? We did tuition?
Yeah,
we did
tuition.
Okay. Right, we did that topic. Okay, Baruch Hashem. That's it. I gave that share for two groups. One for the grandparents and one for the children. So each one can claim, I heard in the share you have to pay. No, I heard in the share you have to pay so they can fight it out and no one gives the money. Now, many people have a practice that they don't want to use a non-Jewish barber for the upsharing. Now, I can just tell you, you know what it costs? To get a barber to come on Lag BaOmer to do a private upsharon? I'm in the wrong business, I'll tell you that much. My wife has been busy with this for the last couple of weeks. It's not cheap to get a barber, and I don't blame him.
What,
to come,
a frum
barber to come at 6 o'clock to my house to cut my kids' hair? Lag BaOmer is, you know, it's the busiest day of the year. So that, again, I feel that's right. We're in a capitalistic society. They can charge whatever they want to charge. So good luck. So I thought maybe we should find a non-Jewish barber. Now, again, there are non-Jewish barbers that know Hilchos Peyos. And there are a lot of Jewish barbers who don't know Hilchos Peyos. Okay, so just, I'm making that hakdama. Now, it would be a very big waste of time if you brought in a non-Jewish barber and he botched the kid's Peyos. If this whole celebration is teaching the kid about Peyos, you bring in a nice Italian guy, he does a wonderful job, and he cuts all the Peyos off. So you want to make sure whoever is the barber, he knows basic, but again, it's not basic, it's quite complicated where the Peyos are over here. And the truth is, it's hard for us to appreciate it, but you got to find the chassidim. After Lag BaOmer, when there were many chassidim, not all, many of them keep the whole sphere, when they get their haircuts, you can really see. And Rav Moshe Shtemach writes in the Tshuva, if they go a little too high, they can be in Isser Daraisa territory. Most of us, we never cut our hair that low anyways, that we even be in a violation. But the chassidim, when they get a haircut, right, they cut off everything, and they're just left with the payas. So you have to know where you draw the line over if it passes Rosh. Because it could be, according to some shitas, it can get very, very close. So they know what they're doing because they have a tradition. That's the way they cut their hair in their family. Okay, good. But I'm just saying, yeah, it gets machlokes rishonim territory with a suffix of the raiser. So that's why no one should get a zero haircut because you're running yourself into a shayla about payas. Not that I think anyone here wants to get a zero haircut anyways, but if you get a two haircut, you're okay. As long as the blade stays at two, you're not running into any real major pas haroish issues. But the chassidim, they get zeros and they go, psh, everything's gone. Right? So therefore, if they move, there's a very thin line over here of where Pasa Roish begins. And there's a lot of different shitas, but it's right over here. So they make their payas over here. But if you go a little high, a little low, you could be slightly in trouble. Lower. Meaning if they cut off too much over here, and the line, it's a very thin line of where Pasa Roish goes. It goes like over here. So, you know, a little too much movement on the blade, you could be in trouble. So, there is.
Can a woman cut
there? No. Sharon? Yeah. He'll get there in a second. Hold on. I want to get to that. I want to make that point very clear, actually.
Right.
Good.
Well, according to those,
I thought you asked me, can a lady shave someone's payas off?
No.
That's Taka Shaila. That's a big deal, actually.
No.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll come back to that. Yeah, I want to make that point very clear.
According to those people that hold this in mitzvah, no, because if you're not mitzvah, you can't do
good,
it.
Good, good. Okay, so let's see. So let's first start with the Gaisha Barber. Let's see, you want to bring in. Right, let's see, you want to bring in Vinny. So let's see, you want to bring in Vinny. And when I was a kid, all the barbers were Italian. Now they're all Jewish. But I mean, good, you know. I mean, my barber must have been 95 years old. Every time I went, he cut off my ear. But, okay. But now the barber, at least where I live in Queens, all the barbers are from. They're all Jews.
Bukharians.
It's Baruch Hashem, they're from, you know. Again, I don't know if they do or don't know all the Hilchos of Pasa Rosh. I didn't fire them. Maybe we should. But at least they have somewhat familiar with the concept. So what about using a goy? And I know for sure the goy would definitely not charge me to come on Lag BaOmer as much as the barbers are charging me. That's for sure. They don't have to Lag BaOmer such a good day. But let's say I want to bring in a goy. Let's say. When they figure it out, they'll raise the prices also. Let's say I want to bring in a goy to cut my kids' pace. What's the story? So he writes over here, another Sefer Shon Revi. So he writes this. Yesh mi shekosev de teklacha sh'oisem lekotin lo yadei nochri al yadei sap Yisrael. Some people say that it's brought down in halacha that you're not allowed to use a goyish barber. This is the beauty of looking things up. Where does that come from? It's from that Berhetiv Shari Tshuva that we saw earlier. If you remember, we saw a Shari Tshuva way back earlier, where it says over there that they used to make the upsharons on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and they used to cut the kids' hair on Sukkos, and they used to use a Jewish barber. Oh! You see, you have to use a Jewish barber. It's a Pella. What type of Raya is that? He writes, Ulam, Be'emes Ein Zeh Kavonas Gan HaMelech. That's totally not what the Shari Tshuva meant. The din over there was, can I make an upshare in a Chol HaMoed? There the chiddush was that even though for the Jew it's Chol HaMoed, he's still allowed to do the haircut. That's what the Berhetiv Shari Tshuva were getting at. Not that you would dafka have to use a Jewish barber. The chiddush was it's Chol HaMoed. And Jews don't work on Chol HaMoed giving haircuts. For an upsharon, you're allowed to use a Jewish barber. Not that every upsharon needs a Jewish barber. That's a mistake in reading the Shari Tshuva. It's no different than when you have him give you a haircut.
Right. In other words, wherever it was that he was scared that he would injure
them. Right, right.
That doesn't apply.
So that doesn't apply today because A, there's other people in the room. B, the Pischei Tshuva writes over there in Yeridea, he says he's going to lose his business. If the barber kills or stabs or cuts every person who gives him a haircut, it's bad for business. So he learns that the whole issue in the Gemara to go to a barber is only when A, you're alone, or B, he's doing it for free. So this is great how people got from this Shari Tshuva that you have to use a Jewish barber. But he does quote from the Stei Chemet. The Stei Chemet said, Lamaisa, it's not a good omen to use a Goyish barber. Not saying it's usher, he's saying it's not a Simona Milsa. It's not a good omen to start off your child's, pious career with a non-Jewish barber. Ah, what about the women doing the cutting? So take a look at number 32, right side. Mayiv Rebbe Sipeli, Shaboim Elovim Yolodim Begil Sholosh, Sheyisaprim Tzas Arois Lasois Lehem Peis. People used to come to the stipler to do the cutting of the 3-year-old's peis. Uma'oy D'roi Gezal Zeh. And the stipler would get furious. Anyone who came here for haircuts, kick them out. Whoa. Stipler sounds like the Brisker Rav. I'm not in the haircut business. Leave me alone. Now, first of all, I think Reb Chaim Knievsky was much more into it. There's videos you can watch Reb Chaim Knievsky on like Boimer just sitting there all day cutting hair. So I think he was more going along with it than his father. This Rabbi Horowitz told the stipler, Rebbe, this is what Chassidim do. Don't blame upsharons on the Chassidim, it's really the Sfardim, which we pointed out was really Minig Eretz Yisrael dating back then. Now, 32b, bottom of the page. Ima shel hayeled. I don't go to many upsharons, besides for the ones I have to be like my kids. I don't go really to upsharons. It's not my thing. But I don't believe in the Hasidic circles the mothers take a cut of the hair. Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't think they do. Maybe they do. Now, the Nitta Gavriel is like the go-to sefer on Taglachas. What does he write? Ima shal hayel d'chaylu l'sapar esbina. The mother can also take a snip. So I told this to someone. Yeah. He says you could. He doesn't say you have to. Fine. He says, yachol, you could. And if you could, you probably should. Then he writes over another interesting shayla that comes up with tiglachas, is you have to wash your hands after you take a snip. Right? The mechabed you, they call you about a kibud. Mechabed with snip number 3. Fine. So you come up, you cut the hair, you have to wash your hands afterwards. So he writes over here, mi shegozas ma'at saroy sayel, you do a little bit of a snipping, kefi shenoigim shemechabden logos misar sayel, einoy tzarech acher kein lito yodayim. You do not have to wash your hands afterwards. Because you never really touched the scalp, you never really got into any mekoymos hametunafis. If you just take the hair and go like this, you don't have to wash your hands. Okay, so Belina, the next week, we'll see that there's much controversy behind this. Meaning, in Ashkenaz, not only didn't they do upsharons, they were anti-upsharons. They held upsharons were wrong. What could be wrong with upsharons? Belina, the next week we'll see. And then we'll talk about the minhag of bringing him to yeshiva. And then I think Genukshayim with the upsharons. And then we'll talk also about payas. Once we're finishing up Oppenheimer, we'll talk about should you grow your payas long or not. We'll talk about that controversy as well. Belineder next week.